Good morning, sowers for a great awakening. It is Friday, June the 21st in the year of our Lord 2024. And June the 21st always means at least two things for me. Number one, it is the first day officially of summer. I suppose that means it's the longest day of the year. So more time during the daylight hours to sow than any other day in the year. And number two, it is my cousin Lee's birthday. Happy birthday, Lee. You've heard me tell stories about me and Lee on the farm, my first cousin, my dad's brother's son, Uncle Martin's son. He's a great farmer down here near where I am now, and he's a champion. So happy birthday, Lee. Well, let's get to our business today. And our business is sowing for a great awakening. But before we sow, we've got to wake up. So wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, as I'm praying that prayer every morning, I have just different sense of conscious imagination going on. And today, as I was praying it, I just sensed that I was stepping into the zone, like I was stepping across a seam, an invisible line, an invisible barrier—not a barrier even, but a permeable membrane. Which is the zone of on earth as it is in heaven. And praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it's like I was stepping into that realm. You know, not leaving the earth, but stepping into the realm of heaven that is now breaking in on the earth. And stepping out of the zone of like, darkness and death and impossibility, and stepping into the zone of light and life, and anything is possible with God. Consecration is that movement into that realm, if you will. The zone. Okay, guys, this is Friday. There's already just bonus flowing. The Lord is giving us goodness. Our entry today is entitled, Why Loud and Proud Won't Get It Done. Our text is chapter 19 of Acts, verses 32 through 41. Hear now the word of the Lord. The assembly was in confusion. Some were shouting one thing, some another. Most of the people did not even know why they were there. The Jews in the crowd pushed Alexander to the front, and they shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people. But when they realized he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison for about 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians!" The city clerk quieted the crowd and said, "Fellow Ephesians, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image which fell from heaven? Therefore, since these facts are undeniable, you ought to calm down and not do anything rash. You've brought these men here, though they have neither robbed temples nor blasphemed our goddess. If then Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a grievance against anybody, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. They can press charges. If there is anything further you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly. As it is, we are in danger of being charged with rioting because of what happened today. In that case, we would not be able to account for this commotion, since there is no reason for it. After he had said this, he dismissed the assembly. The word of the Lord. Now, consider this. Now that I am a local church pastor, I'm back in the habit of going to high school football games. It has caused me to remember the football games of my youth. Somewhere along the way in all those games, the crowds and the opposing stands would engage in what was called a spirit battle. You know the drill. A group of the home team fans begin shouting in unison, "We've got spirit! Yes, we do! We've got spirit! How about you?" Then the visitor side of the field gleefully takes their turn, doing their best to shout even louder from their bleachers, "We've got spirit! Yes, we do! We've got spirit! How about you?" By now, it has everyone's attention on the home side. In order to win this battle that has absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with the game on the field, the home team fans shout louder, "We've got spirit! Yes, we do! We've got spirit! How about you?" Then the visitor side takes another turn. Next, the whole thing devolves when the home side pushes the "We've got more, more, more" button. And before you know it, everyone in the whole place is shouting it, and from there, it devolves further into the dreaded wave, or worse. I've often wondered what the players on the field thought about this practice. After all, the fans aren't exactly cheering for the players. They're cheering for themselves. Something of this kind of thing is happening in today's text. There's usually an inverse relationship between the volume of the crowd and the power or truth of whatever it is they're getting loud about. Volume or force doesn't tend to make the truth get louder or more powerful. More often than not, it calls the truth of the truth into question. The city clerk had it right as he spoke to the frenzied Ephesian Chamber of Commerce when he said, "Fellow Ephesians, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image, which fell from heaven? Therefore, since these facts are undeniable, you ought to calm down and not do anything rash." This is what faith looks like. They had good faith, at least the city clerk. The problem was, they had a bad God. It reminds me of Elijah's famed encounter with the 450 prophets of Baal on top of Mount Carmel. As the prophets got louder and louder and their antics grew more and more ridiculous, Elijah opted not to enter into a spirit battle, but rather to simply and boldly call on the name of the Lord. Okay, he did taunt them a bit before he did that, but watch his approach. This is from 1 Kings 18. "At the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, 'Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again.'" More often than not, a simple prayer offered in quiet yet demonstrative faith will carry the day. Look what happened on Mount Carmel. "Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, "The Lord, He is God! The Lord, He is God!" Bottom line, our spirit battles bring nothing to the truth of the gospel. Friends, as followers of Jesus, in an increasingly hostile culture, we don't have spirit. We don't need spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. He is His own witness, and we have truth. And yes, truth is His own witness. The truth of the gospel, who is Jesus Messiah, inspires quiet confidence and bold reserve. The gospel is a power in and of itself. It's the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. We need never be ashamed of it, nor do we need to put on a spirit show. The prayer. Father, what we need is transformation. We need the kind of formation that comes not from our efforts and energy, but from the Spirit of God. And in the name of Jesus, we need transcendent formation. That's transformation. So we pray, Lord Jesus, I am your witness. I receive your righteousness and release my sinfulness. I receive your wholeness and release my brokenness. I receive your fullness and release my emptiness. I receive your peace and release my anxiety. I receive your joy and release my despair. I receive your healing and release my sickness. I receive your love and release my selfishness. Come, Holy Spirit, transform my heart, mind, soul, and strength, that my consecration become your demonstration, that our lives become your sanctuary for the glory of God our Father. Amen. The journal prompts for today. Have you ever recognized that the gospel is the truth, whether someone believes it or not? How does that impact your faith and your approach to other people? And for our hymn today, we're going to be singing good classic one. I'm going to change the one we had. I had one set in our text that says, Christ is made the sure foundation. But I want to switch it over to Stand Up for Jesus, number 477. So 477, Stand Up for Jesus. And you know, not in the spirit, not in the spirit battle kind of way, as in our spirit, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're standing up. That's all we have to do. He does everything else. Show up, stand up, be still, be prepared, be ready, be filled, be full. Okay, here we go. 4:7:7, all four verses. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are brave now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Let's change keys up a notch. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To those who overcometh, a crown of life shall be. They with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Amen. Amen. What a song. I saw some of you out there standing up as we were singing that. You know, I just got a glimpse of my grandfather standing next to me in church many years ago, singing that song, just with quiet confidence, with bold reserve, with the joy of the Lord. That's the beautiful thing about these hymns, is they predate us and they will outlive us. And, you know, I'm all for the great new songs that are being written all the time, and we'll see how they do in the annals of history. Hope they do well. Some of them will. Most of them won't. Doesn't mean we shouldn't be singing them, but we always need to be singing the hymns that our fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers and great-great-great-great-great ancestors sang. We are part of them. They are part of us. These are our fight songs, if you will, and they never get old. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sometime we ought to just do a wake-up call series. That's what we'll call it. We'll just sing and talk about the songs and the faith that they freight. Well, gang, I'm all out of time this morning. Don't have much to say. I've got a lot to say, but we got to get going. It's Friday. People are going to be looking for us today. They're going to be eager to see us smile, and they're receptive on Friday like never before, I find. So be ready to sow a word of encouragement, a word of blessing, a word of comfort. Just be tuned into the Spirit. What's Jesus doing in this person's life right now? How can I join him in that work? That's what sowing is about. Get your seeds. I'll see you on the field. Be back tomorrow with a Holy Spirit story. It's going to be a good one. I can't wait. For The Awakening, I'm J.D. Walt.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.